Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading for today comes from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. I am my brother's keeper. And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground, and now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground and from your face. I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord. The Catechetical Review, The Church. Please read with me. Our churches teach that one holy church is to remain forever. The church is a congregation of saints, Psalms 149:1, in which the gospel is purely taught and the sacraments are correctly administered. For the true unity of the church, it is enough to agree with the doctrine of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. It is not necessary that human tradition, that is, rites or ceremonies instituted by men, should be the same everywhere. As Paul says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, Ephesians 4:5-6. The epistle reading comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carry out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel for the 11th Sunday of Trinity from St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up from the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. I would invite all of our children to please come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you guys this morning. Look right in here. You see what's in there? Can you see it, Levi?
Yeah.
What's in there?
Water.
Water. What happened in that water? When that water was poured over you, God made a promise to you. He made a promise that you were his child. When he made that promise, he promised that when you pray, he would listen to you, and he promised all your sins were forgiven, right? He promised all of those things right there. So as God made us his child in the waters of baptism, he also gave us the ability to know when we've done wrong. Have any of you ever done anything wrong?
Yes.
Yeah, we have. All of us have. And when we do something wrong, what should we do? When I do something wrong, let's say I say something really hard, really mean to you, what should I say to you? How about, "I'm sorry, please forgive me"? You see, when God makes us his child in the waters of baptism, he teaches us that we are to ask for forgiveness. Now, there's a story today. Right here, this picture in the middle of the bulletin is our story, our gospel reading for today. There was a man called a Pharisee. Can you say a Pharisee?
Pharisee.
A Pharisee didn't care, you see. Yeah, the Pharisee, he was this guy, he got up front and he said something like this, "Boy, I'm sure I'm glad I'm not like Hannah. I'm glad I'm better than her." And he wasn't sorry about his sins a bit. And there was another guy. You see this other guy?
Mm-hmm.
He's standing way in the back. He isn't like the Pharisee saying, "I'm so glad I'm not bad like you." This guy was standing way off and he was beating his chest. And he was saying something. He was saying, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." You see, this guy knew who he was. He knew that he couldn't come before a holy God with his sins. So what did he ask God to do? He asked God to have mercy on him. Can you say that? Have mercy on me. We actually pray that prayer right at the beginning. Did you hear it when we prayed it? We prayed, "Lord, have mercy." Mercy. having mercy on us is what God does. He forgives our sins. And we learn all of that right here in the waters of baptism, where our Lord promises us that he gives his forgiveness to us. So when we know we've sinned, what should we do? When we know that we've hurt somebody else, we should do this. Will you say this with me? Let's turn and let's face the altar and say this with me. Lord, have mercy. Please forgive me. Should we try it once more? Lord, have mercy. Please forgive me. And you know what God does? He forgives you because of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did on the cross when he died and rose again, God gives you total, complete forgiveness of all of your sins. And that way, we can be forgiven just like this tax collector here in the gospel reading. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for having mercy. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys, for coming up here. Yeah. We continue with our next hymn. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you that you do open our eyes to see our sin, that we might fall completely on the cross of Christ for our forgiveness. Be merciful to us, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I once caught a fish this big. You know what that's all about. Exaggeration. Sometimes we do it because we just like to stretch the truth, but there is actually a practical application for exaggeration. We know it all the time. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. But that's the best ice cream in the universe. Or I have a million things to do today. We use it all the time in ways like that. The technical name for that is hyperbole, and it serves a purpose. Exaggerating something so that you can see the point more clearly. That's exactly what Jesus is doing in the gospel reading for today. He's telling the story of a Pharisee. And he uses hyperbole to stretch this truth so we can see crystal clearly what Jesus is doing. We can see clearly the sin that this Pharisee is struggling with. This sin that Jesus talks about today is self-righteousness. Not depending on Christ, but depending on me, myself, and I to accomplish my own salvation. Jesus uses this exaggerated example of a Pharisee. And when we hear the Pharisee in the story, there are certain words that come to mind. I'm glad that we're not like him. Even showing ourselves to be a little bit of the Pharisee. The Pharisee gets up and he is arrogant and he is proud and he is conceited, and it's easy to see in his actions and his words. I'm glad I'm not like others, the Pharisee says. I'm glad I'm not like you. I'm glad that I'm holy and I'm righteous. Look at what I do. I give twice as much as the law says. Can you see it? The pride, the arrogance, the conceit that the Pharisee comes forward with. I'm so righteous. I'm good all on my own. I, my, me, self, righteousness. It's really easy to hate somebody like that, isn't it? Somebody that's so proud and so arrogant. It's really easy for us when we see somebody like that, that's depending on their own actions. It's really easy for us not to like them. But it's really easy for us to see what's going on there as well. It's easy for us to see what self-righteousness looks like. Remember, Jesus is using hyperbole here to exaggerate this Pharisee so much so it's clear to see what self-righteousness looks like. In reality, in Jesus' day, the Pharisees were not, most of them, this bad. The Pharisees would have been the men that were in the church all the time, doing everything that they were there. They probably weren't this bold and this arrogant. They were the ones in the temple. They were doing all of the jobs. Their sin was putting their own salvation, their own thinking that they were being saved by their own deeds. And that's what Jesus wants us to see. I was visiting with a lady at a funeral. I was down in the basement after the funeral, and she was the church lady. Do you know what that means? She was in charge of the kitchen. It was everything that happened there happened because she made sure that it happened. Now, she, as Lutherans go, she was proud, but not too proud, if you get what I mean. She was the one, she took great pride in her work, making sure everything was done just as it should, make sure every meal was perfect. And as I was visiting with her, she honestly said this to me. Pastor, I sure hope that my serving in the church all these years will be enough for me to get into heaven. She's a Pharisee. She's falling into the same trap as the Pharisees. She's depending on the work that she's doing right there in the church kitchen, doing all of these good things for her eternal salvation, instead of depending on what Christ did on the cross. She was self-righteous. Her hope, her dedication, was the thing that she thought would save her. There's another side to self-righteousness that's far more camouflaged than the exaggeration that Jesus shows us in the Pharisee. It shows itself when people believe that they're okay in their sin. We'll use an example. We'll just use Wilson as the example for this. Wilson stops coming to church. Wilson is staying home. Maybe he's quite content with the live stream. Maybe he's just lazy. Maybe somebody's hurt him. There's a broken relationship in church, and he just doesn't want to go back and face that. For whatever reason, Wilson has stopped coming to church to receive God's grace and his mercy and his perfect gifts. And when I go to visit Wilson and we start talking about this, Wilson starts making up excuses. But at the end of all of the excuses, he says this: "But Pastor, I still have my faith." Wilson is a Pharisee. Wilson is depending on the fact that he has some empirical knowledge of who Jesus is. Wilson is depending on the fact that maybe his name is on the church roster. Wilson is depending on the fact that he doesn't have to be there. He's depending on the fact that God really doesn't or won't condemn him for his sin of the third commandment of despising God's word. Wilson is depending that he can rewrite the scriptures and what God says, and that God will listen to him. You see, Wilson is a Pharisee. When someone justifies their sin by saying, "I still have faith," what they're really trusting in is not Christ and his gifts, but some artificial salvation that they have made up to soothe their conscience. They're trusting that God will not damn sinners for their refusal to repent. They're trusting that their church membership or something they've done in the past or their empirical knowledge will be enough. They're living like the Pharisee in the parable. They're trusting in their own interpretation. They're trusting in themselves and the righteousness that they believe that they have. Not in the righteousness that Christ gave, not in the redemption that he alone gives from the cross. There is one more example of hyperbole in the gospel reading for today, but this is one we skip over right away. It was the tax collector. Now remember, the tax collector was the worst. This guy was probably a Jew, and he was working for the Romans, and his job, he was assessed a certain amount of taxes to collect. Anything he collected over that amount, he got to keep. The tax collectors were notoriously corrupt. The worst of the worst. Not only had he turned from his people, but he was stealing from them. The tax collector was someone that you would not sit next to. In fact, you probably wouldn't want to be in the same building with. If we put that into a modern-day version of just how hated the tax collector would be, we could replace him with a pedophile or a serial killer. And maybe you would get the image that Jesus is bringing forward. He stood off to the side. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to the altar that was in front of him. He simply beat his breast and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he went home justified. He went home forgiven. He was not trusting in himself for his forgiveness. He was calling to God to keep his promises. He was believing in the coming Messiah, and he had faith that believed and trusted in the promises of God's word given to him. Jesus told that parable so that we would see what it looks like when someone is self-righteous. We see it clearly in the Pharisee. "I'm sure glad I'm not like you guys." It's easy to see his self-righteousness. But did you see it when we started talking about the tax collector? Oh, it wasn't in him. It was in you. It was in me. When we hear that story about the tax collector and how terrible he was, and we take a little bit of pride in saying, well, I'm glad I'm not that bad. I'm glad I'm not like him. And you see what we've done? We're the Pharisee. We've somehow elevated ourselves above this man and said, I haven't done what he's done, therefore I'm better. Or I haven't done the things that that person has done. Or I'm doing these things instead of those things. And we've elevated our life and our work, or the things that we haven't done, to some level of salvation, and we've depended on that. There's a part of the Pharisee in all of us. That's the old sinful nature in us. It's easy to see the Pharisee standing up in front. It's easy to see his sin. It's a lot harder when we look at someone and say, boy, I'm glad I'm not like them. Somehow taking pride. Somehow taking pride that I'm not as bad as you fill in the blank. The very first line of our gospel reading, Jesus says this, Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves. Jesus told this parable to me and to you. There's a little Pharisee in all of us. In our old Adam that wants to continue to take pride in what we do, does not want to depend on Christ, wants to work and make sure everybody sees what we're doing so they will look at that person and say, wow, what a great Christian. And it doesn't take long for Satan to use that pride in us to elevate us to the position of no longer trusting in Christ, but trusting in our works. The sinner in the story, the tax collector, had it right. Every day we gather here. Every morning we gather here. Now we might not do the physical act that the tax collector did. Lord, forgive me, a sinner. But we do it another way. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We confess before Christ because faith, saving Christian faith, depends upon Christ alone. Not any work that I do or you do, not anything that we don't do. Faith clings to Jesus alone. Hear Jesus' words from the cross as he is speaking out against all of those who are there killing him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hear Jesus as he justifies the thief on the cross after that thief has confessed that he believes in Jesus. Jesus speaks to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Hear again the words that were spoken over you right there in the waters of baptism. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are giving faith to believe. That moment, you are completely and totally justified, not by any work that you've done, but by everything that Christ has done on the cross. Come and receive the gifts of Jesus. Come and receive this forgiveness that's given to you that is totally justified by Christ in his work when he says to you, take and eat, take and drink. This is my body and blood given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And in that, dear saint, you are justified. Not in your work, not in the things that you haven't done, but in the work of Christ for you. You are totally, completely forgiven by Christ on the cross for all of your sins. It's a gift given to you for your righteousness. Every single self-righteous action and thought that we have is forgiven by Jesus. Jesus forgave another tax collector a little later. This guy was named Levi. You might know him better as Matthew, who came and was one of Jesus' disciples. Jesus forgave the woman that had five husbands and was living with someone else now who wasn't her husband. Jesus forgave Peter after he denied him. And he's forgiven us. He's forgiven the Pharisee and all of us and declared us holy and righteous by what he's done. You are justified. You are forgiven. You are righteous, not by yourself, but by the selfless Son of God who gave his life for you. You're forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.